With the availability of excessive information through social media and the news and internet nowadays, you can feel very overwhelmed at the violence, the war, and the tragedies all over our planet. Years ago, we only knew what happened in our immediate vicinity or in our country, but now, within seconds, we can know of a major tragedy on the furthest edge of the world, furthest from us. Whether it's the ongoing war between Russia and Ukraine, or the violence that continues in the West Bank and in Gaza, or the political tensions, or the plight of immigrants and the rhetoric that plagues our media, whether it's the ongoing realities of abortion, human trafficking, you name it. There's a lot of violence and war. And yet, Prophet Isaiah in today's first reading speaks of a time that is so peaceful that a child can play with the cobra, that the bear and the cow can lie together, and there would be no violence. One would not consume the other. The wolf would be a guest of the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. This sounds contrary to nature as we know it. Isaiah prophesied of this peace, but one can fairly ask, well, where is it? Certainly don't see it today, whether it's in various parts of the world or within our country or even within our homes. We can feel completely overwhelmed. What can I do to end the war between Russia and Ukraine? What can I do to stop the ongoing violence in the West Bank and Gaza? What can I do to stop human trafficking? Or what can I even do just to help my friend whose life is just chaos because of a refusal to treat their mental illness or get help for their addiction? What can I do to help a friend who's a narcissist? We can be overwhelmed, whether it's a global, national, or on a personal level, of the chaos, the violence, the lack of peace in our world and our lives. And peace isn't simply the absence of war. If that were peace, then what's happening between Israel and Gaza would be considered peace. It's just simply the absence of violence. Peace is something much more. It comes through justice. And justice is had through reconciliation, the acknowledgement of sin. You think back in South Africa and the apartheid and how they were able to transition from a horrific racist establishment to bring about peace and justice. And it happened through open and honest reconciliation, the acknowledgement of sins and wrongs done. And that's precisely what the scriptures call us to today. We can't affect the realities around the world, but we can certainly affect the reality within our own hearts. Because what we see in the world, in our country, our nation, our home, is a reflection of what's happening in the heart of every individual. We can't control or change them, but I can change me. I have control over me. And how did John prepare for the coming of Christ? It says, the people repented of their sins. They acknowledged and repented of their sins. That's how we make straight the paths. That's how we prepare for the coming of the Lord. That's how justice begins, and the fruit of that is peace, by the acknowledgement and repentance of our sins. That's why in the Advent season, we wear a similar color purple as to the time of Lent, and we're urged to celebrate the sacrament of reconciliation. Ask yourselves, when was the last time you went to confession? I don't know how we can forgive others if we refuse the forgiveness of God. I don't know how I could ever find peace in my life if I'm unwilling to ask forgiveness from the one who I know will forgive me. I cannot be merciful if I don't have it myself to give. And if I receive that from the Lord, that mercy can be inexhaustible and limitless because it comes from Him. And so the first step to prepare for Christ's coming in history, as we celebrate December 25th soon, is to begin to celebrate His coming to us in mystery by welcoming Him into our hearts as we acknowledge and repent of our sins in the sacrament of confession. Without that sacrament, there is no peace. Without that sacrament, there is no reconciliation. Without that sacrament, there is no justice. And so John mandated that the people repent, that they acknowledge and confess their sins. But then you have the scribes and Pharisees, or the Sadducees, who go through the motions, but John knows repentance is far from their hearts because it does not show in their actions. And John, as well as Jesus, saved their most harshest words toward people like that, people who go through the motions, but do not in fact repent of their sins and do well for their neighbor. There are no good fruits. They simply go through the motions. What that looks like today is Catholics going to Mass, but they never go to confession. Catholics going to Mass and receiving communion, even though they haven't been to confession in years. It looks like Catholics going to Mass, maybe just Christmas and Easter, or even every Sunday, but literally do nothing. They do not lift a finger to help anyone, not even their own parish. You brood of vipers, you whitewashed tombs, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as the evidence of your repentance. The letter of James tells us, show me your faith and I will show you my faith through my works. Not that works save us, but our good works are a sign of authentic repentance. If I'm sorry for my sins, I will make right with those I have wronged. Think of the story of Zacchaeus. If I have done wrong by my sins, I will acknowledge them before God and make reparations to my neighbor for any way that I have harmed him or her. If I receive God's mercy, then I can show mercy to others who don't deserve it, just like me. When I receive God's love and goodness, I'm overwhelmed with his generosity such that the cup overflows, and I am similarly generous to those who do not deserve it, who have not asked for it, who did not earn it. But because God has been so with me, so I can be so with them. When have we gone to confession? What are we doing to help our parish, our community, or our family? There are a myriad of things we can do, even if health limits us, whether it's simply prayer, a phone call, inviting somebody over for a cup of coffee. It doesn't require skills, talents, intelligence, or health to do good for others, to produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. But if we do not go to confession, then I assure you it is highly unlikely you're doing anything for others. But the more we receive from the Lord, the more we have to give. When we enter into this relationship of repentance and the acknowledgments of our sins, and the fruits of which are helping others, producing good fruit by good works as a sign of our belief in God, then we experience these gifts of the Holy Spirit that Isaiah speaks about, spirits of counsel and strength, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, and we delight in the fear of the Lord, not a fear and trembling of impending doom, but a recognition that he is God and I am not. He is everything and I have nothing but my sin to claim as my own. Every breath, every heartbeat is his gift. And so I give it back to him by how I care for others and care for myself. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John prepared the way by calling people to acknowledge their sins and repent of them. If we are to heed his call, the greatest man ever born of a woman, according to Jesus, then we must do the same. That is what Advent's all about. Only then can we truly receive Jesus with the joy that is intended on Christmas Day. Let us acknowledge, repent of our sins, and may the fruit of that be evident by how we serve others in our church.